Title, Riser Intensity Shaping from Scratch Using Arrangement View Advanced. Alright, let's build a modern drum and bass riser from absolute scratch, but with an advanced mindset. This is not just a noise sweep. We're going to shape perceived intensity. That means tension, brightness, density, movement, width, and urgency without simply turning the channel up and stealing headroom from the drop. We'll do it entirely in arrangement view, using automation like a weapon. The goal is a 16-bar pre-drop riser that feels like it's accelerating, then gives you that micro-vacuum right before the drop, so the impact feels violent and clean. First, set your tempo somewhere in the D-B zone, 172 to 176 BPM. Set up a simple structure. Bars 1 through 16 are the build. Bar 17 is the drop. Even if your track uses an 8-bar build, the logic is identical, we just compress the time. The big idea stays the same. Hold back early, ramp mid, go hard in the last two bars, then create a tiny moment of absence. Now let's create the riser system. Make three MIDI tracks and name them Riser Noise, Riser Tone, and Riser Air or Texture. Select all three and group them. Name the group something like Riser, Build 16. This group is going to be your master control point where you manage intensity without wrecking the mix. Before we even design the sounds, set up two return tracks, because D-N-B risers live and die by controlled space and movement. Return A, long verb, put reverb on it, set quality to high, decay around 6 to 10 seconds, pre-delay 20 to 40 milliseconds, and filter it. High cut somewhere around 6 to 10k, low cut around 250 to 500, and because it's a return, keep it 100% wet. After the reverb, drop an EQ8 and high pass again around 250 to 400, and if it gets aggressive, put a tiny dip somewhere around 2 to 4k. Return B. Dub echo. Put echo on it, time at a quarter note or 3/16 for that D-N-B bounce. Feedback around 35 to 55. Filter it hard. High pass around 250, low pass around 7 to 10k. Add subtle modulation, just enough for life, not seasickness. Again, 100% wet because it's a return. Then add a saturator after echo, drive 2 to 6 dB, and turn soft clip on. That makes the repeats feel thicker and more confident in the mix. Quick teacher note here, returns let you automate space in a musical way, but they also let you suck that space out right before the drop. That's one of the biggest pro-level transition tricks. Now, layer 1. The noise sweep. This is your energy ramp. On riser noise, load operator. Set oscillator to white noise or noise mode depending on your version. Then add devices in order. Auto filter, saturator, utility, EQ8. Set auto filter to a 24 dB low pass. Resonance around 15 to 30%. If your filter has drive, give it a touch. Add saturator with drive around 3 to 8 dB and soft clip on. Utility width starts around 80 to 100%. EQ8. High pass at 200 to 400 Hz. We are not letting this thing touch the low end. If you want extra air later, we'll automate brightness, but don't hype it yet. Program one long MIDI note that lasts the full 16 bars. Pick something like C3. Noise doesn't really care about pitch, but it absolutely cares about note length, because the note is your gate. Layer 2, the tonal riser. This is the pitch threat, the something is coming feeling. On riser tone, load wavetable or operator if you prefer. Start with something simple that reads in a mix, like a sign blending towards saw, or a slightly gritty table. Add devices, auto filter, overdrive or dynamic tube, compressor for gentle control, utility, EQ8, wavetable, unison 2 to 4 voices, low amount. Don't start super wide. If it's already huge in bar 1, you have nowhere to expand later. Auto filter can be band pass for a focused, threatening tone, or low pass if you want it to open into brightness. Resonance 10 to 25, overdrive, frequency around 1 to 2k, drive 10 to 30%, and adjust tone by ear. EQ8, high pass at 120 to 200 Hz. Again, no low end stealing. Watch the 2 to 5k range because distortion plus resonance loves to stab you there. MIDI note, sustained, maybe G2 or A2. You can stack octaves lightly, but keep the low stuff filtered. In rolling D-N-B, the sub and kick are sacred. The riser is there to frame them, not replace them. Layer 3. Air and texture. This is the final sparkle and chaos that sells the last few bars. On riser air or texture, use operator noise again, or a bright wavetable with a snappier envelope. Add devices, redux, auto filter, echo, reverb, EQ8, redux, keep it subtle. Downsample around 1.2 to 2.5. Bit reduction minimal or off. Texture is great, brittle is not. Echo. Try dotted 8th or 3/16, feedback 20 to 35, and filter it. Reverb. Shorter, 1 to 2.5 seconds, low cut 400 to 800, EQ8, high pass 500 HC to 1K and maybe a gentle shelf at 8 to 12K if you need lift. Now we get to the actual core lesson, intensity shaping and arrangement view. Hit it to show automation, and here's the workflow mindset. Don't automate one knob and call it done. Real intensity comes from multiple small ramps that stack up across layers, plus bus level control. On each layer, you want automation lanes for filter frequency, filter resonance, distortion drive, send to long verb, and send to dub echo. On the riser group, you want automation lanes for utility gain, utility width, and a group EQ brightness move. Optionally, automate the glue compressor threshold if you want a density ramp. And here's a speed trick that saves real time. Build one automation lane first, then copy it to other lanes and scale it. Also, create anchor breakpoints first at key bars, like 8, 12, 14, 16, and even a point right before the drop like bar 16 plus 3 beats. Then shape curves after. You'll work faster and your arc will make musical sense. Let's shape the 16 bar arc like a DNBA arrangement. Bars 1 to 8, T's, controlled and minimal. You want the listener leaning in, not already exhausted. Noise filter frequency opens slowly. Think roughly 200 HC up to around 2K HC across these 8 bars. Tone filter frequency may be 300 HC up to around 1.5K HC. Keep reverb send low, maybe from negative infinity up to about minus 18 dB by bar 8. And on the group, width goes from maybe 70% up to 90%. Coach note, if your meters are rising a lot here, you're getting louder, not more intense. Try to keep the level relatively stable, and let brightness and movement do the work. Bars 9 to 12, pressure. Now it's an audible ramp. Increase resonance slightly. Noise resonance from about 15% to 30%. Bring in dub echo send, maybe from negative infinity up to minus 20 dB. Start introducing the texture layer if you haven't already, but ease it in like you're sneaking it into the room. On the group EQ, at a gentle high shelf, maybe 0 to plus 2 dB around 8 to 10K. And watch your spectrum here. A common problem is a buildup in the 200 to 600 HC region. That's boxy pressure that masks the snare body. If you see that area swelling, automate a tiny reduction on the group EQ or push your high pass slightly. Bars 13 to 14. Warning lights. This is where the listener should feel like, okay, something serious is happening. Add more distortion and a bit more width, but stay in control. Group utility gain can start creeping, but keep it conservative. The goal is not to peak way above the drop. If you want aggression, automate drive or overdrive frequency rather than just level. On the texture layer, increase redux downsample a bit, like 1.2 up to 2.0. Bring long verb send up slightly, maybe minus 18 to minus 12 dB, but keep it filtered so it's not washing the mix with mud. Now bars 15 to 16. Panic. Maximum tension. Controlled chaos. Noise filter frequency opens hard here. Think 2K HC up to 12 or even 16K HC. Resonance can spike slightly near the end, but be careful. Resonance plus distortion can create that painful whistle, especially around 3 to 6K HC. If it starts to hurt, you don't need to give up. Just automate resonance back a touch, or automate a small EQ dip in that range for the final moments. Group width can expand here, maybe 100% up to 130 or even 160, but only if your track holds up in mono. The safest version is, keep the tonal layer more mid-focused and let the air layer be the wide one. Now let's do pitch automation on the tonal layer, because this is what makes it feel like it's lifting off. Instead of drawing new MIDI notes, automate wave-eatable transpose. Over the full 16 bars, go 0 to plus 12 semitones for an octave rise. But for DNB feel, don't make it linear. Keep it mostly steady early. A great arc is 0 to plus 7 over the first 12 bars, then plus 7 to plus 12 over the last 4 bars, with a steeper curve in the final 2 bars. That's the panic acceleration effect. If you want extra psychoacoustic stress near the end, add micro instability. A tiny detune from something like Shifter or Chorus Ensemble, automated to increase just in the last bar, can make it feel like the sound is breaking apart without going out of key. Tiny is the keyword. We're talking sense, not semitones. Now, about automation curves. Early should be boring. Late should be exponential. In practical terms, keep filter openings modest until bar 13, then steep. For drive, ramp gently, then add a late jump in the last bar. You're essentially telling a story, Controlled curiosity becomes real pressure, becomes warning, becomes emergency. Next, group bus control. This is how you make it hitch without clipping and without crushing the drop. On the riser group, at EQ8 first, high pass around 120 to 200 HZ, and don't be afraid of a steep slope. Your riser is not your sub. Then add glue compressor. Attack 3 to 10 ms, release auto ratio 2:1, and here's the advanced move. Automate the threshold slightly in the last section to increase density, but keep gain reduction moderate, around 1 to 3 dB. After that, add utility. This is where your gain and width automation lives. Finally, add a limiter as safety, sealing around minus 0.8 dB. It's there for catching spikes, not for being slammed for 16 bars. DNB rule. If the limiter is doing heavy lifting during the build, the drop won't feel like it arrives. You want headroom preserved so the drop feels like it has more authority. Now, the drop transition. Two key moves. First, reverb tail management. Right before bar 17, automate the long verb return track's utility gain down quickly. This is huge. Even if you pull the send down, the return can still be ringing. Pulling the return gain prevents light reflections from sneaking into the drop and blurring the transient punch. Second, the micro vacuum. In the last 1/8 or 1/4 note before bar 17, automate the riser group utility gain to negative infinity for a very short dip, or mute it briefly. But don't make it feel like an editing mistake. Try a very fast fade, 5 to 20 milliseconds, so it feels intentional. If you want to get fancy, add a pre-drop inhale, a tiny reversed noise or reversed reverb tail leading into the vacuum, so the track feels like it breathes in, then punches out on the drop. One more advanced concept, contrast staging. Not everything has to go up all the time. For example, as your riser gets brighter and wider in the last bar, you can slightly reduce reverb and echo sends so it feels closer, drier, and more urgent right before the vacuum. That dry, in-your-face moment can feel more intense than simply adding more wet effects. Optional advanced variation if you want next-level width without mush. Mid/side split on the group. Create an audio effect rack with two chains, MID with utility width at 0%, side with utility width at 200% and lower its gain. Distort the mid more in the last bars for urgency, and brighten or add space to the sides for scale. The center gets aggressive, the sides get huge, and you don't lose punch. Let's quickly call out common mistakes so you can avoid them while you work. If you only automate filter cutoff, it will rise but not intensify. Stack small ramps. Resonance, drive, sends, width, and bus density. This audio version is shortened for playback.